Well, over the woods and through the snow to grandma's house we went. No, actually, we came to God's house, didn't we? How many of you are glad you're here?
Yes, sir, I am.
How many of you prayed all the way here? Okay, exactly. All right. I think in the northern part where some of us live, it's snowing a little bit more than here. But I think the snow already hit here and is now moving in that direction, which is great. As long as it's in the, as long as the most of it stays in the mountains, we'll be happy. Amen? Amen. Although this was kind of nice. It would have been nicer if I could have just looked out my window and went, I'm just going back to bed. But I couldn't do that. But that's all right. So, yes, not on a Sunday, not on most days, okay? All right. So hopefully you got a bulletin when you came in. Oh, out on the information table, there's a little booklet called The Light of Christmas, and it's put out by Our Daily Bread, and it's called The Reflections of Christmas. And so they're out there. They have blue covers. So pick one up for you. Pick one up for someone that you might be able to think could use some encouragement this Christmas, and pass them out as you have need. Right after our morning worship service, we have Sunday school, and then tomorrow night there's ladies Bible study. Tuesday night we have leadership team meeting, and men, I don't know if you're aware, but we have no men's Bible study for the month of December. We are on a break, so no Tuesday night Bible study, but this Tuesday night is leadership team meeting. Thursday night we have Awana. Saturday night is a ladies' Christmas party here at the church at 1:30. And ladies, there are details about that in the bulletin, so please make sure that you pay attention to that. That's also the day. Next Saturday is also the last day for you to bring pajamas to be able to donate to the Boise Rescue Mission. So you can bring them to the Christmas party. After that, they're going to be taken and given down to the mission. So how you doing? You all warm? Now that you're safe, now that you're warm, you ready to sing? Ready to give your praises to God? All right, let's do it.
Would you all stand with me as we sing this morning?
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. While angels sang to lowly shepherds, three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. And I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you. what hope we hold this starlit night. A king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years, can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, praise his name, Emmanuel. The Son of God, here born to believe, a crown of thorns would pierce his brow. And we beheld this offering, exalted now, the King of Kings. Praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, 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 praise his name, Emmanuel. Oh, praise his name,
and be seated as we continue this morning. You're going to hear that word a lot today, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Gosh, Christmas is such an awesome time of year, even if the music is a little fuddy-duddy. But it's so awesome because Jesus came as a baby. He touched down on earth, and he changed everything. Praise God for that hallowed manger ground. Would you pray with me as we prepare our hearts this morning? Heavenly Father, as we sing these songs today, as we remember the time when Jesus came, as we think about that he wasn't just a kid, he wasn't just a man, he was a son of God, he was born with purpose. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, would you help us to understand how amazing Jesus is, and to respond with adoration. Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom the angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good good Christian fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings a lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born. The babe, the son of Mary. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth.
Let's sing this one more time. I will give thanks for Jesus.
I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Let thy glory be over all the earth.
Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing. One more song for you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Jesus. God, we pray that his glory be spread over this whole earth. And we know one day it most certainly will, because you are faithful to your word. Lord, we love you.
To be with us. Wow. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you sent off to children's church. Whoops. That's the first time I ever knocked over a camel.
Yes, that's exactly right. I've done that a time or two.
All right. Father, we're just so grateful to be able to be here this morning. Thank you for bringing us all together. Father, thank you for these truths in these songs that we just sang. And Father, we're looking forward to the truths of your word that we're going to see as well. And Father, I pray that we will take them with us and we will put them into practice into our lives, whether we be children or whether we're adults or anything in between. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to begin a series of messages leading up to Christmas. Somebody asked me just this morning, so Pastor, are we having church on December 25th, which is Christmas Day? And the answer is yes, we are. Okay, and in fact, we're going to do communion that Christmas Sunday. So you're going to want to be here for the singing, even though they're fuddy-duddy. You're going to want to be here, not my words, but you're going to want to be here for the message. You're going to want to be here for communion. And so it's going to be a great time together. I promise you, we will get you out in time to open whatever presents you might have underneath the tree. Okay? But knowing you, you'll probably open them all Christmas Eve anyway, so it won't matter. Exactly, right? So the other day, I was here, and it was after dark, and I came into the sanctuary, and I saw that it had been decorated, and so I came over, and I hope Christy doesn't mind, but I turned on the lights. The sanctuary was dark, and the lights came on, and it was so beautiful. Now, there was a time when this world was dark, really dark, and a light came. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So as I was looking at the light shining in the darkness of this sanctuary, I thought about a time that I tangled with darkness on a trip to West Virginia when I was younger. My mom grew up in West Virginia. She had sisters still living in West Virginia. And so we made a trip from northern Ohio down to West Virginia, down to my mom's hometown to be able to visit her relatives. And one of her sisters named Mary, she had two sisters named Mary. Imagine that. But that's not too far-fetched because in the Bible there was two sisters named Mary. One of them was the mother of Jesus. And the other one was the wife of Cleopas. And so they were sisters. And so she had two sisters named Mary. So we went to go visit one of the Aunt Marys. And they lived out of town, and they lived up on a ridge. And so we were there visiting, and we were there visiting and visiting and visiting. And I had to go to the bathroom. And so I get up from sitting around the table talking, and I start looking, and I'm opening every closed door. And I'm not finding a bathroom. Now outside, it's starting to go from light to dark. And I'm opening every single door and closing every door. I probably opened every single door 3 or 4 times, still never finding anything that looked like the bathroom that we had back home. And so my dad finally, after about a half hour of me opening and closing all of these doors, came to me and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I have to go to the bathroom." And I said, "There isn't a room in here that looks like a bathroom. And I don't know what to do." And so he says, "Come here." So now you look outside and it is dark. So he takes me to the back door. And he says, "You see that flashlight?" And it's like, "Yes." He said, "Grab it." So I grabbed it. He said, "Okay, turn it on." So he opens the door and he says, "Shine it on this path just down the step." So I shined it on this path. He said, "If you just follow this path," he said, "you'll come to this little wooden building. That's the bathroom." And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yes, that's where the bathroom is." So I said, "Okay, will you come with me?" And he said, "No, you're a big boy. You can do this." And so off I go down the path. Well, as I'm walking to the path to this little building that is like, you know, just blows my mind, right? Now, if you wonder what I'm talking about, it's called an outhouse. If you have no idea what an outhouse is, Google it this afternoon, okay? I'm sure that there's pictures, and I'm not going to say any more, okay? So anyway, I'm walking towards this house that he told me to look for, right? And I hear this noise. So I turn with the flashlight in the direction where the noise comes from. But I'm continuing to walk because I have to go to the bathroom. And guess what? I walked off the path. I walked off the path and I fell down the ridge. And I'm rolling and I'm rolling and the flashlight's no longer in my hand. And it is dark. And finally when I land, I check to make sure I'm okay, and I'm okay. I'm just fine. Okay? But now, because I don't know where the flashlight is and I'm dark on the side of this ridge, I have no idea how to get back up to the path. I have no idea how to even get up the ridge. So I start screaming at the top of my voice, at the top of my lungs. I'm screaming and I'm screaming and I'm screaming. Finally, my dad and my uncle come running out and they're trying to figure out where I am. So they go running towards the flashlight. And I went, I'm not by the flashlight. So then they come over, they finally find me. So they help me up the ridge, right? Get up to the ridge, get up to the path. My uncle went and found the flashlight, brought the flashlight. My dad shines it towards the little house and he says, okay, that's where it's at. And I said, good. And I start to turn to go back to the house. And he said, I thought you had to go to the bathroom. I said, not anymore. I said, I got to go change my clothes. Now, I know that's too much information you didn't expect this morning, but I tangled with darkness. I know what it's like to be in a dark place. Over 700 years before the first Christmas, a sorrowful statement was uttered by those who were questioning how much longer they would have to stumble around in the dark. Hopefully by now you found Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verses 1 and 2. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Wow. To help us understand these verses correctly, it's important to revisit some history. Not the same history as when I was in West Virginia. But we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12. And don't worry, those of you who don't like history, I'll make it brief, okay? So Genesis chapter 12 tells us that God selected Abraham to be the patriarch of God's chosen nation. Abraham became the father of Isaac, who became the father of Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And sometime in Jacob's life, God came to Jacob and said, I'm changing your name. To me, you are no longer going to be Jacob. You are going to be Israel. And so from that moment on, God recognized Jacob as Israel. Now, if you read the latter chapters of the book of Genesis, especially Jacob's life, after God renames Jacob Israel, Israel and Jacob's names are used interchangeably. So as you're reading and you read Israel, you're not just in Genesis, you're not just reading about a nation, you are primarily reading about a person named Jacob. It's important to be able to understand that. And so the families of these 12 sons increased, and they were known as tribes. And these 12 tribes eventually settled in the promised land, the land that God had promised to Abraham. Now, we call the promised land Idaho. God and Abraham called it Canaan. And it was the land that God had promised to Abraham. Now, the tribes of Benjamin and Judah, two of the tribes from these 12 sons who made up the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribes of Benjamin and Judah settled in the south down about where Jerusalem is. And the other 10 tribes put down their roots up in the north, a little farther north than Jerusalem. And these 12 tribes were united for many years. But after the death of King Solomon, a division occurred. And the 10 northern tribes split off from the two southern ones. And the northern tribes became known as the nation of Israel, and the southern tribes were known as the nation of Judah. And it didn't take very long for the northern tribes to turn away from God and to start worshiping idols. How am I doing, Lisa? Am I doing pretty good? All right. Okay. A couple years ago, Lisa took us through a history like this in Sunday school. It was amazing. It was really great. And I still remember some of that, Lisa, so you did a really good job. And these tribes became increasingly sinful. And eventually, they made an alliance with Syria to attack Judah. Now, this brought fear to the tribes in the south. So God sent a prophet known as Isaiah to give them hope. The area to the north in Israel was filled with darkness, distress, and despair. That's the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 9. And while this is real history, it also describes what has taken place in the human race. Because, see, God created us to have a relationship with Him. But Isaiah goes on to say we've all turned from Him. We've all gone astray. We've all gone to our own way. And we give in to the darkness of temptation and sin, leaving us in deep despair and darkness. And what we learn from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 is this. I'm going to give you the whole summary of the sermon before we ever get to the end of the sermon. The whole summary is this, that Jesus is the Christmas light that takes us from where we have been to where He wants us to be. So as we continue on with our message this morning, I want you to keep that in mind. Jesus is the Christmas light that takes us from where we have been to where He wants us to be. So Jesus takes us from gloom to gladness. Did you see here in chapter 9 that it says there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish? In the former time, He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, He has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. During this time of gloom, God uses Isaiah to announce a message of grace and glory. Zebulun and Naphtali are tribes from the north of Israel, known as the Land of Galilee. The territory of Zebulun was located near several important trade routes. It was a busy place. It was a place where people internationally would come while they were moving from place to place. Now, while this tribe fought valiantly in various battles, they also compromised. They compromised with the Canaanites. And as a result of that, they lived in idolatry and immorality. The tribe of Naphtali experienced lots of struggles because of its closeness to an enemy called Syria. Or as you read the Bible, it could be Assyria. It's the same place. Now, the way of the sea that's mentioned here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, the way of the sea refers to an important-ish international highway that ran from Mesopotamia all the way to Egypt. Now, for many years, the Israelites knew only darkness and despair because of their sinfulness. God repeatedly warned them, and then to get their attention, He set the Assyrians to attack them. And because these tribes were further to the north, they were the first to be attacked. And during this mess, Isaiah brings a message of future hope and healing. Isaiah tells them that a time is coming when the gloom will be replaced with gladness. The darkness will be replaced with light all throughout Galilee. You see, this tells us that Christmas was and is brought about in the middle of great grief and deep darkness. Because you see, there was a time while the angels were declaring peace on earth, Herod was preparing to murder infants. While Mary was worshiping, other mothers were weeping for their children. You know, I think that tells us the Christmas light is best enjoyed as the mess of life is all around us. Because you see, the light comes to us. The light has come to us. No matter the gloom, no matter the grief, no matter the darkness, the light of Jesus still shines yet today. Gladness comes even though the world and the culture is full of gloom. Jesus is the light of Christmas for those living in darkness. The problem is, some have chosen not to come to the light. Some have chosen to reject the light. Some have chosen to neglect the light. So therefore, they're still they're still walking in darkness. But to all who believe, Jesus brings the light of God's redemption. To all who believe in him as Savior. You see, I like the description of Jesus as light because light is indeed so amazing. When we come into a dark room, as I did a few days ago, what's the first thing we want to do? Turn on the light. Why? So we can see. Well, Jesus comes into our darkness so that we can see the truth that God is and the truth that he has for us. Because you see, we can see truth in God's word if we choose to look at it, to read it, to study it, to ask God's Spirit to speak to us through it, to ask him to show us what is true, what is right. In God's word, we can even see what sin is. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans? Paul said, if it wasn't for the law given by God, I would not know what sin is. God's word tells us what sin is. What is morally wrong? What is unacceptable in God's sight? The light of God's truth does all of that. Jesus does all of that. But we must choose to let him shine in and through every area of our life, which includes our mind, our attitudes, and our actions each and every day. Jesus takes us from the darkness to his light. Look at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Now, this verse uses the past tense to describe future events. Did you catch that? It's as if the writer, the prophet Isaiah, it's as if he's writing as though it already takes place. This helps us to know the certainty of how prophecy will be fulfilled, specifically how the birth of Jesus brings light to a world of darkness. What did the prophet Isaiah say? The people who walked in darkness have seen. Past tense. It's as if it had already happened. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. It's as if it had already has happened. Now, what do we do with that? Well, the idea of walking in darkness is that of people stumbling as they come and they go. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumbled. I have no idea as I was walking on that path to that little wood house in West Virginia what it is I stumbled over to make me fall down the ridge. Why? Because it was dark. And I had chose what? To move the light from the direction that I needed to keep it on. There's a lot of people today. Maybe you're here today and you've moved the light, the Christmas light, out of your life. And you're just stumbling around in the darkness. The light's been given for a purpose. My dad said, here's the flashlight. Keep it on the path. There's a purpose for you to have this light. The light has a purpose. And it's not for us to ignore it. It's not for us to neglect it. It's not for us to not let it shine. It's for us to be able to make use of that light given to us through Jesus. While people are walking in the dark, then what does it tell us? A great light appears. Not just an ordinary light, not just like a 60-watt light bulb, a great light, a floodlight, a searchlight appears and shines into the deep darkness. You know, Emmanuel means God with us. We couldn't find the light on our own, so the light came to us. the prophet Isaiah, and it's recorded in chapter 60, verse 1, said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." John, as he begins his gospel in chapter 1, in verse 4, he says, in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 9, he says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Who is that light? The Word. The Word. The Word that was with God and the Word that is God, who's been with God since when? The beginning. It's interesting. When you ask people, when did Jesus begin? They'll say, well, he was born in Bethlehem. Did Jesus' beginning begin in Bethlehem? No. He was with God from the very beginning. God is eternal. He's eternal in the past, he's eternal in the present, and he's eternal in the future. And I know that's hard for us sometimes to grab a hold of. And then in verse 14, John goes on to say, "And the Word became flesh." The Word came to us. The light came to us. Emmanuel, God with us. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, in light of that, I want you to think about this. Nazareth is where Jesus grew up. And guess what? It's located in Zebulun. Capernaum, which became the main place of Jesus' ministry, is in the land of Naphtali. Oh, 700 years before Jesus ever lived in Nazareth and set up his base of ministry in Capernaum, God told the prophet Isaiah to tell the world where Jesus was not only going to be born, but where he was going to live and where he was going to set up the base for his ministry. The fact that Jesus grew up in Nazareth and lived in Capernaum is a complete fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9. Isn't that great? Isn't that cool? That's a goosebump moment, isn't it? When you see all of it coming together as God said that it would. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 and through 16, it says this, "And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Here Matthew is saying, listen, this is no happenstance that Jesus grew up in Nazareth and that now he's basing his ministry out of this place called Capernaum. In fact, those of you that are reading Matthew, or those of you that are listening to Matthew's words of Jesus' life, this is the fulfillment of what God had told the prophet Isaiah 700 years before it ever came to realization. "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned," Matthew went on to be able to say. It is amazing to know that the Savior would come from this region. Actually, Jesus had to come from this region in order to fulfill God's prophecy. Now, some of you have heard me say this before, and I'll say it again for those of you that haven't heard it. When our children were born, we waited until they were born before we sent out what? Birth announcements, right? To tell our friends, to tell our family that a child had been born to us. God didn't do that. 700 years before it ever happened, God sent out the birth announcement. Not only did he send out the birth announcement in Micah as to where Jesus was going to be born, he sent out where Jesus was going to grow up and where Jesus was going to base his public ministry out of as he spoke to and through the prophet Isaiah. Does that show the greatness of God? I think so. David and Brianna, you haven't sent out birth announcements yet, have you? I would recommend not to. Leave that up to God, okay? All right, after the baby's born, then send as many out as you want. Do you see that? Do you see how God, in his greatness and his goodness, told the world what his plan was, and has Micah and has Isaiah wrote down what God said was going to happen. They wrote it down as if it had already happened. You see, when God tells us something in his word, we can take that to the bank. We can stand on that. Because God doesn't change. God doesn't lie. And so therefore, when God says, this is the way that it is, this is the way that it's going to be, it's as if it's already taken place. Now, there is significance when we read about the Galilee of the Gentiles, because this reminds us that God's heart is for both Jews and Gentiles. You see, even though God used the nation of Israel to be able to bring the Savior into the Savior of the world wasn't just for the nations of Israel. It was for the nations of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And we are given the responsibility and the opportunity. Every single one of us has been given the responsibility and opportunity to take the message of Jesus as Savior to people everywhere. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 applies Isaiah 9 directly to Jesus. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Remember, before Jesus came, there was darkness in the region of Naphtali and Zebulun. And then after the birth of Jesus, and we sang about this morning, after the birth of Jesus, a light shone. A star shone in the sky to light the way for the wise men. And at his death, extreme darkness descended in the middle of the day. His birth announcement was a display of brightness at midnight. And the notification of his death was deep darkness at midday. There's good news. Because the region of Galilee that was plunged into darkness and sin for so long was the first to receive the brightness of a Christmas light. That Christmas light being Jesus. So have you moved from walking in the dark to walking in the light? Have you become comfortable living in the dark, or do you want to live in the light? John chapter 3 verse 19 says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. You see, Jesus lights the way for those who are choosing to live and move in the darkness. And he's that great light. A teenage boy heard in Sunday school that Jesus was the light of the world. After class, he went up to his Sunday school teacher and said, if Jesus really is the light of the world, I wish he'd come hang out at my house. It's awfully dark where I live. Is it awfully dark where you live? Let Jesus change that. You know, as I was putting this message together, I had a Christmas hymn that just kept coming to my mind. And it's the Christmas hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. And some of the words of that hymn is, O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, bringing to us a Christmas light. O come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Here's the question. As the light, that Christmas light, have you let him come to you? If not, don't let another moment go by before coming to the place of believing in Jesus as Savior. If you've been stumbling around in the darkness of sin and temptation, don't let another moment go by stumbling in the darkness. Let the Christmas light, let Jesus lead you out of that. If you're living in the dark, come to God's Christmas light. His name is Jesus. If you're stumbling in the dark, live in the light of God's word. Father, thank you for showing us that even at the time of our darkness, even at the time of the world's darkness, even at a time of the nation of Israel's darkness, you sent the Christmas light. And Father, Israel rejoiced. Father, may we, if we've not before now, come to the Christmas light. If we've not believed in Jesus as Savior, may we have done it now. Father, if we're stumbling around in the darkness of temptation and sin, Father, allow your word to be able to bring to us the truth of the light, that we no longer have to live that way. We no longer have to stumble that way. We can follow your instruction. Father, may this be the Christmas season that we can say we've either come to the light or we appreciate that light that you brought to us at Christmas more than ever before. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for this last song? All hail King Jesus, the bright morning star.
All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, bright morning star. I'm going to praise him.